Tonight I'm going to talk about the ministry of the Word, and when I first got into Christianity, I didn't know that the Word, or the word Word, was a nickname, if you will, for the Bible. All it was a Word. So I didn't know that it referenced the Bible so many times. So tonight when we talk about the ministry of the Word, we are talking about, indeed, the Bible. And I don't know how many of you brought your Bible tonight. I kind of warned you a little bit this morning that we'd like you to bring your Bible. So if you have your Bible, will you just kind of stick your Bible up there, all right? Good deal. Now listen, if your Bible looks like this, you're just wrong. Have you ever done that? You go, and the pastor out of nowhere throws you the curve, and he says, "There you are." You grab a hymnal thinking you get by with it. Everybody always tells on you if you're around that. Hey, I don't know what your history with the Bible is, but I'm sure it's a rich history. The sad thing, and probably one of the reasons I want to talk about the Bible tonight, is that the context of the Bible that you and I knew, and these teenagers, I'm just excited that we do have a pastor, a youth pastor and his wife that emphasize the Bible. To what extent they really exercise that back there, I don't know. But I do know one thing, they're getting exposed to it. We have a whole generation that the Bible is a reference to something with not only their parents, but more importantly, or more usually, with their grandparents than anything else. The written word newspapers are going away. And we understand that there's a lot of print that is disappearing for a lot of economic reasons and other things. But I got to tell you, there's just something about opening a book that has God's word in it that has literally from Genesis to Revelation. And this isn't to downplay anything. I mean, listen, every morning when I get up, when I read my Bible, I'll read my Bible on my phone. There's a group of about seven guys that we have a little bit of a accountability there, and I'll read the scripture, and then I'll text what I read, and they'll text what they read. So I usually do it on my phone. I don't do it in a real paper Bible. So I'm not here to crash or to complain or anything about what form someone uses, but I will proclaim that if we don't use it, we're leaving the house absolutely just naked spiritually. We have no power. We have no strength. There's nothing going with us unless we have the Word of God. And I really don't have to promote that with you. This is one of those sessions where I'm really preaching to the choir. But even the choir sometimes forgets the significance of some of the things that we need to mention. When we talk about a Bible, the first Bible I ever got was given to me right after I got saved. It was a paperback New Testament, and it was the Living New Testament. And that was pretty new at the time as far as a fresh translation. About the only thing really had that at that time was the King James Version and the New Living Testament or the New Life Bible. Even the NIV really wasn't that popular at that time. And I did what all teenagers do. I just threw it in my car, and whenever I used it, just went back and forth. The pages started just ripping off of it because it was just paper, you know. So it didn't last a very long, I should say. And then I wanted a real Bible. So I went to the Bible bookstore. Back then we had Bible bookstores. You know, when you would go to the mall, there were Bible bookstores all over the place. So I'd go there, and I bought this little King James Version. I think it was a Scofield Red Letter Edition Bible. And I wanted a Red Letter Edition because I just knew that those were the words of Jesus. And to me, it was so cool to be able to read the Bible. And when these words that were printed in red versus black stuck out to me because I knew that these were the words of Jesus, I'd pay attention to that because of that. So there's a lot of that. And you have a story too, don't you? I remember the story of, I just remember my grandfather reading his Bible. I've told you before, my dad, the only way I think he knew to honor my grandfather's relationship with God was to bury that Bible with him. And I really wish that I'd had that Bible. So I have that red letter Scofield Bible. It's in my bookcase in the office, and I still here. And in it, I have a flower from my dad's funeral, from my grandfather's funeral, and Pastor Brummett's funeral. And Pastor Brummett was just this incredible gentleman that every time he came to the pulpit, he just added dignity to the Word of God, and it was just really fresh every time we heard him speak. So I began to fall in love with the Bible well before I even came to Woodlake, but it was just so intensely associated with my life. And for the most part, it was King James Version. There was a lot I didn't understand, but it wasn't because it wasn't understandable. I just didn't have a lot of knowledge. There wasn't a whole lot of foundation for me to build these things on. And as I began to learn more and more and more, it was fascinating how the Word of God just seemed to expand. And when I began to learn how to read the Bible, study the Bible, if you will, I found myself literally finding myself just disconnected from the reason I first went to the Bible, because I bought this Bible that had a concordance in it. Oh, that's a dangerous thing. Because once you get in the margins and you hit the concordance, you get over here, and next thing you know, it just opens up all of these different areas and avenues of the Bible, and you're just going, how in the world, this is all of this. It's just amazing how it expands. But I remember that I respected the Bible and I loved the Bible, and there's some people that the Bible is a cherished item. It's more of an antique not to touch than it is something to absorb and to digest. Well, I respect anybody's, you know, feelings about that, but my Bible has magic marker in it. It has pen all over it. I've got notes in the margins, all kinds of things, and that's what I do with my Bible, because when I use my Bible, I study, and I'm sure many of you are exactly like that. But one of the cherished things that I have in my life is one of Pastor Brummett's Bible, and it's just right there next to my, you know, nightstand by my bed, which reminds me that most of us have gobs of Bibles. When it really comes down to it, we have a lot of Bibles. You know, I have three Bibles that sit on my desk because I want to look spiritual when anybody comes in. And then I have a couple of other Bibles there, and I have some at home, you know, and there's about three literally, you know, all over the place. And it's just a really cool thing to have such access to God's Word to us. So I'm not here to sell you on the significance and how you need to use the Bible, but tonight we're going to look at the Word of God in the Word of God. If you're using your phone, it's going to be King James Version. And it's not because I'm doing the throwback thing. I just is the version of the Bible that I've brought to the pulpit tonight, so that's the one that I'm going to stick with. So if you follow me in the Bible, that's what we're going to do. Now, the word ministry means to serve. It means to serve. So when we say the ministry of the Word, we know that Jesus came to serve. He said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. And God gave us His Word of God so that it would serve us. I know there's a lot of cliches and phrases about the Bible. Some go like this, that it's God's love letter to us. And I don't disagree with all of those, but I love the fact that when I think of the ministry of the Word, it has come to serve me. And sometimes we get that turned around. Like I said, we take these Bibles and we think they're cherished possession, and they are, but it should be cherished because of how we've opened it and we've used it and we've absorbed it into our life, and not because it was grandma's and it needs to stay right there and don't anybody touch it. Because this thing untouched leaves a life untouched and a life undone. And only true life comes out of the Word. We know that Jesus Christ, according to John's Gospel, was the life. And the Bible tells us that He expanded all of that through His ministry. But just hearing the story of Jesus, it's just a paraphrase. It's just a story until you read the story from the book that came from the God and the Holy Spirit that anointed men to write this book. So that's where we want to go tonight. Someone once said, you need to read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be right. I said, if you want entertainment, you need to read some fiction. If you want a story, read a novel. If you want knowledge, look at the encyclopedia. If you want a definition, look at the dictionary. But if you want change, then read your Bible. If you want to be transformed, read your Bible. If you want to be affected, you want to be moved, you want to be touched, on and on and on, then read the Bible. And there again, I know we read our Bible, but sometimes it becomes, you know, something that we've done, but not something that we've done with an objective. So tonight, I hope that if you've had some areas of gap, if you will, in the emphasis of your Bible, we'll recapture those tonight, okay? So I'm just going to read a couple of things, and then we're going to go to the Word, all right? First of all, why is the Bible so valuable to the believers? It's so valuable to the believers because it's the inspired Word of God. You know, when you get a letter, it's connected to somebody, and if it's just information, like, you know, I get information all the time. Matter of fact, I got something from RCB Bank the other day, and it had Daniel Marlin's name on it. I didn't even care about it until I saw Daniel Marlin's name on it. I go, wow, this came from Daniel Marlin. I know this guy. I could pick him out of the crowd. All of a sudden, I decided I better read this piece of paper from RCB Bank because it was attached to Daniel Marlin. You know what? The more it gets connected with somebody, if somebody writes you a letter, you know, and all this stuff, you read it because of that relationship. And that's why this Bible is not only something we read because we have a relationship with God, because it's also the inspired Word of God. I mean, it is given to us for a purpose. Go with me to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 16 and 17. And sometimes there's real value to hearing What did they call those? The leaves or what? There was a phrase that pastors used to use all the time. I like to hear those leaves turning in the Bible or whatever. I don't go back that far, but I never mind. Anyway, I just remember they were talking about you could hear it. So here we go. Follow me with that. It won't be on the screen. None of our scriptures will be on the screen tonight. But 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Did you realize that you could be perfect? I mean, God wouldn't put this in there if it wasn't a possibility. Now, I understand just like you do, every time I look at my day, every time I look in the mirror, I see flaws. But what God wants to see in us is perfection. The Bible is not just a collection of good ideas from its writers. It's not just a bunch of things that happened. It was not just a history book. It's a lot of, other than that. Man was only the instrument used in writing this. The Holy Spirit was actually the author, when we understand it. And the true power of this book is the inspiration. It's the supernatural influence of the Holy Spirit in doing this and in writing these things, because the Holy Spirit laid it on the heart of man to put these words together. So as such, we understand that the author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit. It is through the Holy Spirit that God used that. So the second thing we want to point out is that the Bible at many times has been called a difficult book. Now, this is just, I want to take you down a road of thought. It's not difficult because it's hard to understand. It's difficult because it's hard to live. I mean, you know, the thing that confronts people out there, and the reason they don't like the Bible is because the Bible tells them where they're wrong. The Bible tells them where they're in error. The Bible tells them where they're sinful. Nobody likes that. Everybody wants somebody to approve of what they're doing. Listen, I just read some stuff not too long ago. It was an article, and it was a little bit about our culture. And it amazes me how that we used to go from really kind of like right and wrong. Remember those days? It was right or wrong. You know, it was black and white. It was pretty simple. We knew whether this was correct or incorrect. But nowadays, it's like just a little bit of everything has been worked into the mix. And you can do anything. You can be anybody. You can claim to identify with anything. And, you know, and it's okay. I'm going to tell you what, that is a sad sign of where we are. And not only is it a sign of where God said we will go right before I come back to take my people out of here, but it tells you where our society is. So nobody likes, in that context anyway, nobody likes for a book that's just words on paper to them to tell them how to live. It's a difficult book, not necessarily because of that, but because it's hard to live this book in the flesh. Outside of the Spirit of God, it's hard to hear these things and adhere to them. So I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verses 14 through 16. 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verses 14 through 16. Here we go. It says, But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. So when you look at this, you understand that it's no brainer. It doesn't surprise us at all that people oppose this book. Because number one, it gives them from the authority of God is how we should be living. But they can't understand it. That's why they think God is old and antiquated and old-fashioned and out of touch. And we have new ideas and new ways to do things. And God's just an old-fashioned mentality. Well, God forbid that we allow that to seep into our minds as well. Mark Twain said this, "It's not the parts of the Bible that I do not understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand that give me great concern." I mean, how about that? Here's Mark Twain. I forget, you know, just when he said these fabulous theological comments, but, you know, this guy says these things as common sense. The Bible will truly only be understood by the spiritual man, that part of you in here. So as we continue to embrace our relationship with Christ, it's through that spiritual relationship that we have also a relationship with the Bible. One commentary said it this way, "The Bible It came from the finite to the infinite to the finite, from the unlimited, all-powerful God to limited man. Therefore, you cannot understand the Bible as you would understand the writings of Plato or Socrates. You can study the great philosophers with the natural mind and by diligent application grasp their profound meaning. If the Bible could be understood by natural man, it would be a natural book and could not be the Word of God. Since the Bible is from God and therefore spiritual, before you can receive its teachings, you must be born of the Spirit. That's why when you get saved, there's a package deal. God not only gives you a relationship with His Son Jesus Christ, forgives you for your sins, you have a new relationship with God the Father, there's this Holy Spirit that comes in there as well. And He's not here just to make you feel bad when you're not doing things and pat you on the back when you're doing good things. He's here to connect you with this Bible because He remembers it being authored. And that's how the powerful part of it is. The Bible is also a book of great harmony. This sounds just like a couple of facts, but it's still very, very important. The Bible is a library of 66 books written by 35 different authors over approximately 1,500 years. The authors of the Bible were a cross-section of humanity. They were educated and uneducated. They were kings, fishermen, public officials, farmers, teachers, and physicians. The subject matter of the Bible includes these things: religion, law, science, poetry, biography, and prophecy. So how could the Bible be in such harmony with so many authors covering so many subjects over so many years? Only through the construction and the inspiration of God the Father through the Holy Spirit. Okay, so 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 21. Let's go to 2 Peter real quick. There she is. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And there again, you know, a pastor and a preacher can proclaim those things from the pulpit, but then when you connect it with the Word of God, there's just this punch that's involved in this. There's this significance. The Bible is not only a book that brings about change, but it's also a book that brings great power. And this is one part of the aspect of the Bible that if you want to get a little greedy, and that's a bad word to say, but I mean, if you really want to take advantage of the significance, don't we all want some more power? Don't we all want to be able to live the life that we really want to? And you know what? Somebody could give you a pep talk and it'll get you through the moment. And somebody can, you know, throw a couple dollars to you, make you feel a little bit better. But only the Holy Spirit and the power of what this Word says will get you through all the challenges in life and give you the power that you need. I think the cool thing about our relationship with God is so many times God doesn't remove the obstacles. He causes us to feel His presence and gives us more power to go through the obstacle or overcome the obstacle. That's what a real winner does. And that's what happens when we do this. Hebrews the 4th chapter, verse 12, if you will. Go there with me. Hebrews 4:12. Here it says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." This Word of God, and there's reasons why several times you'll hear pastors or preachers or it suggested, you know what, we need to pray the Word of God. If you're needing healing, one of the best things in the world you can do is not only just make the request and remind God that He's a healing God, but remind Him from what His Word says about healing. When you need forgiveness, remind God of the forgiver He is. David did that several times, reminding him. Did God forget? No, the reminding is for our sake. Telling God once again the things that He had said. There's something powerful when you do that. You know what? Everybody understands this circumstance. It's easy to get in an argument until somebody starts pulling out the rule book. And then you go, uh-oh, there it is, the rules. There it is in black and white. Well, not so that you can win an argument. This isn't about, was it a big fish or was it a whale? Who cares? You know what I'm saying? Who really cares? Who cares about winning that bet? But it's the bet of it's about life that we really care exactly what God says. It's amazing sometimes when we don't know the Word, we think we're living the Word, but we're only close. We're only close. Can I just tell you, if you've ever had to use a compass, I mean really use a compass, it's real important if you're a couple of degrees off or not. Because the further you go on your journey, the further off you're going to be at your destination. But this Bible puts us on a direct course with the way we should be living. And it may not feel good. It may not, you know, be wonderful. It may not be what we wanted. It may not be the way we would like to have it. But God puts us in the position to be blessed instead of cursed. He puts us in a position to be successful instead of defeated. And that's why we embrace the Word of God. It has the power to keep us from sin. We talked about David this morning. Here he is in the Word of God. In Psalms it says this, for 119:11, it says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God." Well, you know what? Get determined all you want. Bite your lip and say, "I'm not going to do that ever again." Promise God and promise God and promise God. The best way to avoid sin is to hide His word in your heart. Because you know what? I learned real quick when I got about 12 or 13 that my mom and dad had dominance when I was in their presence, but I was away from them. I learned how to lie. I learned how to bend the truth. I learned how to go around them. I learned how to be deceitful. You know, I don't know, because I got away from their authority. And you know what? I got to tell you this story. I told it just the other day, and it just still cracks me up. This girl, her name was Dee Hale, good friend of ours in high school. She came over to our house one night. She was going to roll our yard. Now, in Alabama, we rolled yards. We didn't do TP, okay? Toilet paper in it. That's for rookies. We rolled their yards, baby. I'm telling you, we put so much toilet paper in that yard, they remembered it for a long time. She came over to our house to do that. We lived down a dirt road. We had dogs that loved to eat other dogs. You know, so she got close, but she never got. So that night, my brother and I, who always had a stash of toilet paper for necessities, and we were snuck out in the middle of the night, went over to roll their yard. So the next day, it's Saturday, I'm at the ballpark. I'm in my football uniform. We're fixing to play football right there in Little League football. And D. Hale's mother walks up, and I went, "Oh, no. Oh, no." She walks up, and she looks at my dad, and she says, "Harry, boy, your son really got us good last night." He said, "What do you mean?" She says, "Oh, he rolled our yard, and man, it was a fabulous job." And I'm over going, "Oh, no, this is it. My life is over." You know what my dad said? He goes, "Let me tell you what, that wasn't my son." I looked at him like, "It wasn't?" You know? And he said, "I didn't raise my son to do that. That's not my son." I went, "Go, Dad." My dad's defending me, and I'm dead sinner guilty. I couldn't believe it. You know what? Because he thought his authority was so strong that regardless of where I was, that it would still be powerful. Let me tell you what. You get away from this word, you get away from God, and you get away from Jesus, and you get away from blessing, and you get closer and closer to the evil things of this life and the things that want to come against you. It has cleansing power. Remember, we talked about David this morning and how he literally begged God to forgive him. Psalms 51:2 says, "Wash away all my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin." This book will do a lot of things. It will encourage you. It will sustain you. It will guide you. It will inspire you and much, much more. But it will do none of those if you never read it. It will do none of those if you ever read it. Listen, I understand that when people like me get up here and preach, you know, we're preaching from the time we've had into, we're vested in this, and you know, we try to think that we're good word crafters, and we try to make our messages inspirational, that type of thing. But the cool thing is that every one of us, on an individual basis, because of our relationship with God, has the power to walk the kind of life we need, and it's because we have this book in our possession. And it's not that we all become preachers. That's not the issue. We all become believers. We all become declarers. We all become faith walkers in this thing because this book gives us the authority of any other man of God who stands in the pulpit or anywhere else. Now, there may be some differences in gifts and abilities and ministries, but there's no difference between what God will do with you if you put the Word of God in your heart than He will with me as He puts the Word of God in my heart. And that's what we have to do. Can you imagine what would it look like if there was a church full of people that really believed this Word for all that it says? I mean, word for word. Word for word. The problem with our society is we tend to pick and choose the things that we like, and we kind of, you know, we kind of falter a little bit on the things that we don't quite believe. And I've said it before, but listen, I just got to tell you, I believe what this word says. It says that God created our earth in 6 days. Six 24-hour periods. And on the last day, He rested. And the reason I've said that is for this emphasis. Because if I don't believe my God can do that, I don't know if He can heal my body. Because I want a God that can do that. That's the kind of Almighty God this book tells me He is. And that's the kind of Almighty God I need to go to bed with every night and wake up with every day. And that's the reason that this word takes me there. I didn't get there because I heard somebody speak on radio. I didn't get there my own, you know, conclusion. This is the Word of God sent me to that place. And that's how powerful it is. Go to 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verse 15 with me one more time. 2 Timothy. 2nd chapter, verse 15. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." All the way through high school, I could have done a lot better. I'm not telling you I was smart. I've never claimed to be extremely smart. I don't know what my IQ would ever be. But I do know this much. I did only what I needed to get by in high school. There's a lot of reasons for that. But I've never really tested, and I never tested myself. But when I left high school, I stayed out of school for about a year, and I walked on at Troy State University with $700 that I earned that summer working a job, and I was on my own. And you know what? The next thing I realized is that an education was very, very important. Not because somebody sold me on the value of education, it's because I had $700 to make it or break it. And now it was all up to me, so I started applying myself. And I started doing really good in my grades. I mean, it was amazing to me. I surprised myself that I could make these grades. And it's because I studied. It's because I applied myself. If you don't study this word, it will not come to your rescue. You will find yourself constantly going back asking God to make up for the difference that you didn't make because you just simply didn't study. And notice if you look at this verse of Scripture, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. Study to show thyself approved. Don't work on it, don't try to go there, but study it. And when I first came to Oklahoma in 1985, we got associated with Kyla and all of the Bible quizzers. And you know what? I come from an athletic background, and they said, "Hey, Bible quiz." I'd never heard of Bible quiz. Matter of fact, you know, this is how void I was of any type of spiritual activity. You know, my first youth camp was as a youth pastor. First time I ever went to a youth camp, I'm taking kids, you know. So I'm faking it, trying to figure out what day it is, what we're supposed to do, and all this other stuff. So I get to Woodlake, and they have these Bible quizzes. And I said, "What is that?" You know, so they go in there, and I thought, well, this is probably just a little academic team or whatever and that type of thing. So we get in there, and these kids are just spitting the Word of God left and right, and I'm going, I better up my game as a youth pastor. For crying out loud, I'm behind times. And then we would go to these competitions. Oh, listen, I've seen more blood spilt at a Bible quiz meet than I have in a lot of football games. These guys are stinking serious. I mean, and they will get mad at you over a single word. It's amazing. But here's what I constantly heard out of Cecilia Harness. This is worthless. It doesn't become a part of your heart. Memorizing is great. Winning a competition, great. But it's not great enough. The only great thing is if this really becomes a part of your life. So tonight we need to embrace the ministry of the Word. As you study the Bible, you'll discover that it doesn't just contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. So let me just close with these three comments. Don't deny the Word of God and its ministry. Why do I do that, Pastor? I've never turned away the Word of God. Well, you turn away the Word of God the same way you do a lot of things. You just don't pick it up. You just don't pick it up. No one would ever take this and throw it away. And I'm not going to let you take it from me. This is mine. You know, this is my Bible. You go get your own, that whatever. You know, but I just can't imagine anybody really wanting to do that to any Bible, whatever. But you know what? I do it every day if I just let it stay there. I've already denied the Bible. There's something in this Word God has for me today. I need to pick it up. I need to read it. Not so I can be accountable to those seven guys on my phone, but so that I can be accountable to God, because God has something to say to my heart today. Don't deny its power in your life. We're always looking for power somewhere. And it's not so we can have an edge Listen, I have never prayed, God, take somebody's blessing away from them and bless me. I've never asked God to do something to somebody else so that I could have an advantage. I didn't do that in athletics. I've never done it in my life. But I do know one thing. When I found out this word gives you power, power to live, I wanted it. The reason I got baptized in the Holy Spirit wasn't because I was just exposed to a Pentecostal church. I started experiencing the power that was in that church. And every time I would talk to somebody about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they took me back to the story. They took me back to what the Word says about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the power wasn't related to, well, I got it, you got it, this I got it. No, this wasn't about some kind of popular thing. This was about what God said, and this thing is decades old. I wanted to be a part of that. The last thing is the best way to know the book is to know the author. Best way to know the book is to know the author. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor tonight. We're going to end this way. I want you to take your Bible. I want you to hold it right here. Hold it right here. This is the closest proximity to your heart that anybody can get. This is where God wants this word to live and to reside. And you know, this doesn't feel silly, does it? Now, it would kind of be silly if it wasn't in the context. In other words, you know, these kids, you know, they would probably feel a little out of place if they were just to walk down the middle of the hallway in their school, you know, with their Bible like this. But at the same time, what would people say? They'd probably say a lot of things, but they would certainly take notice. I can remember when I was not living for God. This is a terrible thing to admit, but you know what? Whenever I got a hold of pornography, I knew where to hide it. I knew where to take care of it, and I wasn't going to lose it. I'm sorry, but that's just a sinful statement. It's just the truth. I wasn't going to. There are people, I'm going to tell you what, they know how to take care of their drugs, and they're going to lose it. I mean, they'll work hard to keep it. I mean, and nobody's going to get it from them. But this is what we've got to do with the Word of God. It has to stay close to our heart, not in position physically, but because we open it up and we study it consistently. Amen? Let me pray for you and your Bible tonight. Father, we don't pray over this Bible as if it is an inanimate object, that it needs to touch us because this is the pieces of paper with black ink, it's covered mine with a black binder. No, because in it contains the Word of God. There are these incredible words that was spoken from the mouth of God through the Holy Spirit to these men. And as they crafted them onto paper for our benefit, and as we open this Bible today, we indeed feel the power within. So Father, convict us. Yes, the word is convict. Convict us when we don't embrace your word. Forgive us, Lord God, when we deny your power because we deny your word. Lord, correct us. Because we said this Bible is all about change. Change us, O God, to where we embrace your word more and more and more. And Father, probably one of the biggest reasons we need to talk about this tonight, the ministry of the word, is because we're living in a day that is constantly eroding into sin upon sin, darkness, black things ahead of us. There's not a whole lot of hope for our world. But we're not undone because this Bible also reminds us that you're going to come back for your own. And the Bible says that we should be encouraged by those words. Lord, there's a lot of discouraging things out here, but this Bible has hope for me. This Bible, I find peace in this Bible. In your words, Lord, I find strength. I find courage to keep going. Lord, I find healing. I find forgiveness. You're a forbearing God. Lord, on and on and on, help me to read your word, embrace your word, love your word. God forbid that I put it under glass so that I could admire it from afar, but instead pick it up and devour it, Lord. May its pages be threatened by being torn apart because of its usage. May the binding of our Bibles literally outwear the way it was manufactured because of its use. So be with us today, Father. Help us to embrace your Bible, your Word, the Holy Word of God, spoken to us through the Holy Spirit for our benefit. For as we started this service, what did we say? The ministry of the Word, for it's come to serve us. We ask you for your blessing upon it in Jesus' name and our recommitment to it. In Jesus' name, amen. And praise the Lord. God bless you. take your Bible, your word, use it strongly, often, and be dismissed. Good night, everybody.